I keep expecting to see more things like we're doing, because it's like, it's really good for the people that it's right for, but it's not right for everybody.
Sure.
So there's a million different niches of kind of characters of humans, of whether they're entrepreneurs or professionals or freelancers or whatever. Just a new take on the networking and extended learning.
You're listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. This is your seat at the table. Hey guys, this is Darren Clark, the producer, and we've got a fun show today with Hollis Carter, a serial entrepreneur and co-founder of Baby Bathwater Institute. As Forbes said, yep, the name is odd, but don't let that fool you. Hollis Carter talks with Roland today about his business and specifically the lifestyle business and mastermind Baby Bathwater Institute that ties them all together. We think you'll find this episode very interesting, so I'll hand you over. But first, remember to hit that subscribe button and go to businesslunchpodcast.com for show notes and more. All right, let's begin.
Hey, everybody. Roland Frazier. Welcome to another episode of Business Lunch. And my guest today is the inimitable Hollis Carter. Hollis is the co-founder of Baby Bathwater Mastermind. Is it Baby Bathwater Mastermind, Hollis? Is that, or is it just Baby Bathwater?
We changed it to the Institute because we thought that was even a funnier way to
BDI. Go. I like it. Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. Welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So as we get started, would you just share with people what is the Institute?
Yeah. So, I mean, the best way to frame it is that it is not something that we wrote out a business plan or we're very strategic about doing. Me and my partner, Michael Lovich, started this about 7 years ago, actually, which was sort of wild because I've usually had about a 3-year attention span on any business.
I like it. Well, that's part of the goodness of this is evolving all the time, right?
Yeah. So kind of shows how much I actually enjoy doing it. I wouldn't say it's the smartest business model if you're looking for scale and profit, but relationship-wise and just ideas and investments we all make and stuff along the way has been phenomenal.
So will you tell everybody kind of what it is now and then we'll go into how it's gotten here?
So basically, as we operate right now, we do a handful of events. Obviously, COVID's put a small pause on that, but we were doing quarterly events that were about around 125 to 200 people, as well as little smaller masterminds and stuff as well. But our model was basically people would come to an event after they had a phone interview, usually because of a referral. And then if they were a good fit, which we're really just looking for people who are kind of in the grow and scale phase, but we're always trying to make sure it's diverse in the industry. So it's less, at the beginning, we were very digital marketing heavy because that was where all our friends were.
Right.
But now it's definitely way more diverse and focused on that.
Nice.
But they usually get a referral, do a phone interview, and then they come to a 4-day kind of all-inclusive event that would have content and parties and food and networking and all of that. And if they enjoyed that and it was a good mutual fit, we have a year-long membership, which basically gets them into all the events first and discounts and the online group. And there's a whole bunch of support features and not everybody uses them all. And people use the ones that were relative for them and kind of just give them a lot of things to pick from.
That's really cool. And it's more social, right? Than anything else, more relationship oriented, right?
I would say that was how me and Michael bonded, was 10 years of going to conferences together and never wanting to listen to the keynotes. So we would sit in the lobby and have conversations. And like, I'm a dyslexic, terrible student. And so that form of books and courses and presentations didn't work for me. But what worked really well was having drinks in the lobby and asking people their war stories and learning things from them. And so we set it up more like LobbyCon is the event versus you feel like you're missing out on something. We're kind of choose your own adventure. We'll have content, but it's definitely more of a like panel hot seat sort of format than anyone running through slide presentations.
I love it. Now, so what, tell us the evolution. How did you get into this as a thing? And is this kind of your primary thing right now?
You know, we have multiple businesses. Me and Michael kind of share everything now. And some of my bets work, some of his bets work. And we've got a nice agreement there. We're just sharing those. But I'd say energy-wise, 90% is here. The other ones are side hustles to make sure when things like COVID happen, we don't have to be worried about having most events because it's there's so many elements that go into it.
What are some of the other businesses?
So we have like a private affiliate network for some health and wellness products where we've got that actually it was an evolution within Baby Bathwater. We had some great product people who didn't know much about marketing and how to track, you know, say they're on an article or a podcast or an email blast. So we bought tracking software just to help some of our members do campaigns together. And then before too long went on, we were writing the campaigns and tracking them and doing the payments. And so that has evolved into a business now where we've got some really great health and wellness products that are kind of backed by science. And nice. We get them on podcasts and get their articles posted. And we just take a performance cut of things that are put together there. Then some real estate stuff, built a couple specs.
That's awesome. A couple spec houses.
I'm a co-owner of a ski resort. Yeah. So yeah, on a call right before this, I've got competing offers on a spec I just built, which was it'll be my first flip of a spec. So,
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
But I actually really oddly loved the part that most people seem to hate about that. I loved the designing and building process. Like, I was obsessed too. With it. Yeah.
To me, like, it's such a creative thing. That's the place I'm in right now. This is a place we bought, redid, and then we'll sell it. And it's just fun to do that.
You know? I remember my fiance was like, he used to read a lot more books when we were building the house, but I stayed up all night on my iPad on SketchUp and looking at boards and doing it. And it was a wonderful creative outlet that also happens to be a business, but I kind of have the problem of turning most of my outlets into businesses.
So this is turned into a good source of deals too then, right? Baby bathwater.
Yeah, I would say that's really like the main asset we deal in is trust. Like, we removed someone from the group today just because they weren't dealing with, you know, we found out not even within the membership, but we saw something and like, oh, that's not up to kind of the ethical standards. So we really police it.
Nice.
To make sure strong ethical folks and grow and scale kind of positions where they're not in a biz dev mentality. They're more there to be around other people at a similar level so they can share perspectives and ideas and connections. And by default, we've been able to invest in a few ideas. We've spun up a few companies with members as a result of just sitting around having wine on a beach and things like that. Nice.
That is, that's not a bad way to do business. I like it. So now, how did it start? What did you, obviously you said you and Michael were hanging out in lounges and, you know.
Yeah, saying. I mean, we had completely separate businesses, but found ourselves at a lot of the same conferences like TNC and Underground and all these marketing shows because our businesses were marketing heavy. But we always just found ourselves enjoying the same people, not enjoying the same things, all those like kind of common traits. But then we both moved here to Boulder, Colorado, still had our separate companies. And we both sort of moved in a position where we weren't involved day to day with buyouts and just hiring people and being out of the day to day. And we were like, we should do something together because we go out to eat like 5 times a week and we need a credit card together.
I love it.
So that's really actually kind of business lunch. It started that we're like done splitting tabs.
That's great.
So we each put 10 grand in it. And there was an event here in Boulder that a ton of people came to, but it was pretty subpar to their expectations. And we had all these friends who were like, what can we do? And we had just created this company with a funny name and put some money in the account. So we rented a little mountain cabin, maybe 10 minutes out of town, got some musicians to play, got food for everybody. And we got 2 school buses and turned them into bars and went to the event and took all our friends from the event and took them up to the little venue and threw a party. And then they all wanted to keep hanging out. So then we rented like a, basically like a picnic spot by a beach on the reservoir here and threw like a hangout on the beach all day for everybody. And we really just wanted to network and talk in an outdoor environment instead of being stuck in the hotel. And then everyone asked us if we would do it again. And I had just invested in Powder Mountain Ski Resort. And so I kind of had this canvas to paint on where it's this big private mountain and I knew how to do the lodging and the food and I wanted to bring energy there anyway. So for the first 2 years, we just hosted events there from like a Thursday to a Sunday. And we kind of wanted to get rid of the status that we felt was at events a lot with these big speaker dinners and this stuff and like make sure everyone who was there was on the same page. It was less of a trying to figure out who's going to be your peer.
Right.
And so we went through, called the people we knew we had met through a decade of hanging out in the conference lobbies and stuff and invited them out and they pretty blindly joined and then all of them had a friend or two and they came and like the first one, I think maybe had 75 people at that. Mm-hmm. And I think it sold that out in about a week or two with doing one-on-one calls with everyone. And we're like, this is fun. I wonder if it'll work. It was always like going to be a side project for fun. But then I don't even know how quickly the time passed where now we have an office and 6 full-time people and all this stuff as it grew. I think our big transition was when we went from being an event business to more of a membership that had events as one of the benefits.
Okay.
And that was really in the last 3 years.
What do you charge to be a member?
We do 20,000 for the year.
20,000. Okay. And so it's fun, I think, because for people that are watching or listening that want to have a lifestyle business that can be very lucrative, but also isn't so businessy. You guys have nailed it.
Yeah. What? Ours is always be a little cheeky and fun for those folks. Yeah.
I like that. So what would be some advice that you would give to anybody else that was thinking, man, that sounds really cool. I'd love to do something like that.
Yeah. Well, one is this takes a lot longer than my past experience of internet businesses because there's just way more moving parts, deposits, and it is more work. So just like to do these lifestyle things, sometimes it's actually a little harder, even though it's more fun. When I was selling stuff online, I worked less hours and made more money, but I didn't enjoy it as much. So I guess the disclaimer, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. What we did first really was outline the things we didn't want to do. As I know you've met Michael, he can be a pretty intense fella. And he was like, let's not do one of those hippie mission statements. Let's write out all the things we don't want to be. Didn't want to be in hotels and conference rooms. We wanted good food. We wanted good people. We wanted music and fun and to lighten it up. And so we kind of made this list and just used that as a checks and balance system as we did it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and definitely just being in for the long haul on it has been a massive thing because surprises happen. We had a goal of going internet. We wanted more international people. And that sounded like a great idea. But once you start doing it, we rented an island in Croatia and produced an event there for 300 people for a week. And I think we lost like $500,000 on the first one. You know, the second one actually did really well after we learned, oh my gosh, and we're paying cash to bribe customs people to get our swag through and all this stuff. So the juice was worth the squeeze because we enjoy what we're doing, but it's got to be something you really enjoy. Like we love hosting. If you're like an introverted person who just wants to travel, then that might not be the right fit. But if you like get energy from connecting and staying up, talking to people all night and stuff, I think that's really important. As far as tips on it, I mean, I keep expecting to see more things like we're doing because it's like, it's really good for the people that it's right for, but it's not right for everybody.
Sure.
So there's a million different niches of kind of characters of humans of whether they're entrepreneurs or professionals or freelancers or whatever, I think could value just a new take on the networking and extended learning way that we do that.
How do you facilitate networking? How do you get people to all connect and start those conversations and relationships?
Yeah, so I'd say it's like kind of a full spectrum thing. There's a lot of little touches, but our big one is not to make anything feel too structured. Like our whole thing is the guests most likely know better how to use their time than we do. So we don't enforce any schedule, but we provide a bunch of schedule options.
Okay.
So like we have an app that comes out right before the event. And in that, you'll see everybody who's coming and a list of all the different content things. And especially if someone's new to the group, we'll send recommendations of people to meet. Hey, here, based on our call, I think these are the contents you should go to, some of the stuff you should do. But honestly, our membership has been driving an internal piece of it really well.
Cool.
Where I'm sending emails ahead of time and actually often reprinting those out for people when they arrive and saying, here's someone new. Please go up and talk to them and introduce them to a few people and like more using it internally. So it feels more organic versus like a speed dating thing where you're be here at this time. And so it's a lot of like really light side touches, but we spend hours and lots of time planning it so that they all happen in concert without anyone really feeling it forced upon them.
Cool. Now you mentioned that one of the things that has been an evolution is going from just the event to having some other membership things. Can you talk a little bit about that and what you've done and why you saw that as being some good things to do?
Yeah, I'd say it's sort of twofold. One is just, it's a better business model. Living from work really hard, have this profit, then take it, put it on a deposit on the next event and cancellations and rollovers. Like, how do we create some stability? So I think that might have been the first reason it really came about was just some more stability to the business. The long term of it, though, was adding supplemental ways that it's not just the events that produce the value that they get from it. And so we started, like most people do, with a private Facebook group and started doing that. And then we built a private site that they could all use, but adoption was crap on it. So we ditched that.
Okay.
And so using the event app in Congress with sort of the Facebook group. but pretty minimal supplementation, like just to keep it going. And we had weekly content and things like that. But then we started looking outside. What are the other features that aren't events, that aren't networking and aren't connecting that we can do? So like actually in conversations with like some banks to help some of our people who are entrepreneurs have trouble getting mortgages. Because we're like, hey, these are legitimate entrepreneurs, but they might not have a W-2. We found lots of shared benefits among members. A great example is a guy in the group who started a really cool company called Brain FM. It's like a focus binaural beat kind of thing. Nice. And people loved it for focus and sleep. And so they're all exchanging stuff amongst each other. So he gave free access to everybody in the group. They give him feedback on things that are happening with his marketing funnel and stuff like that. So could be everything from getting reviews on a product that you're launching to getting beta testers. And then the big one has been like the ask, give, share, pitch model. So We did no pitching for the first few years, but then we realized sometimes the pitches made sense. So they just have to label them very clearly and call a spade and don't try to disguise it as something else. But the ask, give, share model in the group seems to work really well.
And so explain that a little bit more, the ask, give, share.
Yeah. So if I'm in this private kind of curated community and I have an ask, I'm looking for a new CMO to hire for my company.
Right.
Here's my line. I can post that in the group. And generally you get feedback almost instantly. And then we send out a newsletter twice a week. And the things that aren't taken to completion, we put those in the newsletter and send those out. Because we have some people who aren't actively on Facebook on purpose and they might miss it. So we try to drive each request to a completion by moderating it. So ask is simply, I have something I need help with. Share would be, I found a cool resource and I want to share it. And then, or share is usually more like a win kind of thing. They want to share, or here's something I have access to if you want it. And then give is normally like pretty cool stuff they're giving away to the group, which I know you know Kurt Malley, but he's always like, it feels like competitive giving now.
That's cool. Started
and entrepreneurs are inherently competitive and they seem to be competing quite a bit to give more.
That's really cool. And so where do you see things going now from here? You've got, obviously right now, as we record this, we're in the COVID, you know, fun. So events are down, but what do you see? Like, where's it going 1, 3, 5 years from now?
Yeah, it's a great question because I just got out of a 3-hour meeting planning that. But, you know, one thing we did, because when the whole COVID thing started happening, our first event was in Italy when people in the U.S. still weren't fully like believing this was real and it was happening. So we were pretty in the mix of it being real. So we had to postpone that event because there was no way to even get in. And then we had to postpone the next one. We had to postpone the next one. And part of our membership is inclusion to these events.
Yeah.
So our decision of how to handle that sort of drove a little bit of the vision for the next step, which was we just sent everyone an email, said, we know you paid for this year. Some of you have already used your free event. Some of you haven't, but COVID wasn't your fault, not ours either, but we want to show you we're in it for the long term. So we just said next year is completely free. Yeah. And then we doubled down on online, which has always been a little bit not had our full attention. So we really scaled up the online learning, our newsletter, all the stuff that adds value in between events, which I now feel that was the baby in the bathwater of our team that we kept on during the whole process, focused on the virtual side of it. I really hope we get back to the full event thing. And I was explaining to you, you know, earlier, we're working on testing and all the ways just to push forward to it, because I think people want it more than ever. We are going to be working on like some initiatives to help our members get content out. So for instance, you have a small team, probably helps you with the podcast and all that. We have a lot of people who may want to do it, but it's too much of an opportunity cost for them from their main business. But we might do shared ones that we do together as a group and doing some different deal stuff.
There's like a shared podcast, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. So we're working on that, whether it's a podcast or more of a written format, more shared content production.
Okay, cool.
So they can get a little PR out of their membership too, that they don't have to do much more than brain dump to us and then we'll take it from there.
Nice.
It's obviously good for our brand. It would be good for them. And trying to find those slipstreams where good for both people, but you don't have to reinvent the whole wheel for everybody. So yeah, just focusing on benefits that aren't events and they're not Facebook groups and Zoom trainings and stuff. Yeah, so just looking at that, but you know, I'd say our vision is this is not something we ever want to sell. We'd like to keep this forever because it's actually become some of our best friends, and the deal flow is crazy. The learning I got from, like, for Croatia, we did close to 3,000 interview calls to get to 300 people. And so I told my dad, I was like, I think I just got a PhD in entrepreneurial psychology, doing 100 of these calls of, like, you know, what are you dealing with? Where are you at? And really getting to just learn that. It's like a priceless education on this end as well.
Now, so the other thing for people that are thinking about maybe going into this, you started with your warm network of friends and stuff like that. And obviously you get lots of referral from word of mouth. Is there any marketing that you do besides in network and word of mouth?
Yeah, so it's a great thing because I would say where Michael and I spent most of our time prior to this was in marketing and really focused on it. But we honestly haven't done any. It's been 100% word of mouth. We have gotten on some podcasts like this before and had a few PR articles that kind of came out organically of being on those listicle things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been next to nothing except for the Croatian island when our focus was to bring international mindsets into kind of the shared community brain power. We geo-targeted people in Europe with a few videos to like attract them to that event. Nice. That was the only time we actually ran any marketing, and it was more for the intention of diversification than leads, because the growth size, when you only have so much space at these all-inclusive events, we haven't really needed it, I guess. But that actually ties into our plan for the future, as we do want to start doing more marketing content-wise to grow the list so that maybe there's people that we can help with free advice for the next few years that eventually might be the perfect person to join later on.
Yeah. That's awesome. So for people that are interested in finding more out about this or getting connected with you guys, what are the best ways to do that?
Just at babybathwater.com is like our main site.
So babybathwater.com. And for anybody that came about, how did it come out? That word, that name.
Oh, yeah. So that's a funny one. So actually, that was pretty much the vernacular that Mike and I used to describe things before. And like I said, we started the business, like, I think on LegalZoom on my phone in the bar. We wanted to have a shared bank account. And, you know, say it was an event, he was talking about, how was it? They'd be like, there was some baby, but there was a lot of bathwater.
I like that.
And we just used it. And we were like, I think we had had some consulting gig we had lined up. And it was his friend. And we wanted to write the check to a funny name. And that was sort of how it really started. Yeah.
Okay. So they go to the site, babybathwater.com. And how about as far as reaching out to you if they have questions and that kind of stuff?
Instagram is like the only really thing that I'm on.
Okay.
Pretty
Hollis Carter, or what's the handle?
Hollis C.
Hollis C. Okay. Yeah. All right, man. Well, thanks for spending some time today and sharing. This is a really cool business.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Fraser. If you're enjoying the show, let us know by subscribing and leaving a review. And for more information, go to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.
What if 3 days could change the course of your business in 2023? Get Scalable Live is where you'll gain great clarity on the next steps that will help you create the business, life, and wealth you deserve. Connect with business owners and entrepreneurs just like you, hungry for advice, proven strategies, and necessary connections to grow a business.
Literally, million-dollar conversations are happening in the hallways, in the bathrooms, across tables.
Get Scalable Live at Fairmont Austin, November 2nd through 4th. Tickets are on sale now at GetScalableLive.com.